Hello and welcome to the ultimate episode of The Two Tones with Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony.
Myself, Tony Moclair. It is episode 24. There's only one name, as far as I'm concerned, that wore that number to greatness, and that would be the one M. Allen.
Agate Allen. What a player he was. Geez. The record holder in the number 24 Guernsey, it has to be said, Tone. 140 games for the club before he went to the other place who shall remain nameless. But a great player for the club, best and fairest winner too, if memory serves.
Yep.
I'm just reflecting on the origins of the number 24, and there's some rather interesting names that sort of jump off the page going back to the early days of Carlton history. I look, Tone, to 1920. Dick Whitman played 12 games for the club in that particular period. Joe Prince before him, a little bit of royalty there, never went astray. And but we also had Champagne Charlie Hammond. He played 15 games in the Guernsey, the only Carlton footballer in history to represent his club in 5 premierships. Bruce Steele played in 4, but Charlie Hammond played in 5 for the club.
How many of those were successful, Tone? Question without notice.
They've played all five were victories.
Right. Wow.
6, 7, and 8, and then 14 and 15, and win.
That's
quite
a record.
That is
Floyd Mayweather-esque.
It is. No wonder they called him Champagne Charlie. I think I would have been on the Maui if I played in 5, Tone. But so there you go. It's had an interesting. Storyline, the number 24. Billy Barrett also played 12 in it. We go back to Harry Casper, the man that put Coleman out of the grand final when Coleman retaliated to a Harry Casper cuff, I think it was. He played 56 games in the Guernsey. So it's had a colourful career, the number 24, shall we say.
Well, it marks the final episode of The Two Tones for 2017. We are going to cover off a few things. We're going to briefly touch on Carlton versus Buddy Franklin.
Very briefly.
What a difference one out makes. I mean, I think we previewed this last week, just the score, and well done to Sydney. 21-12, 138 to Carlton, 8-9, 57. As we pointed out, I think, it would have been last week, one Alex Silvani, who kept the devastating Buddy to 1-1 last time we played. Either Buddy was having a bad day or he was just well checked by Alex Silvani, or a combination of the two.
Well, I think it was probably a combination of the two, but all fairness to Alex Silvani, I think he had stood Buddy with some success in his days at Fremantle. So he'd had a pretty good strike rate on the big Budoir.
Yeah.
And I think what was frustrating watching the game out of Sydney at the weekend, Tone, one of the many, of course, frustration was that, you know, some of these mitigating factors weren't mentioned by the commentary, by the commentators.
There's a surprise.
Yeah. And, you know, we had probably 5 or 6 of our starting 18 out injured for, you know, varying degrees. And, look, don't get me wrong, every team gets injuries, particularly at the pointy end of the season, as they say. However, no doubt Alex Silvani would have got first dibs at Franklin. But, you know, reflecting on that game, the way the Swans were playing, the way Franklin was playing, gee whiz, there'd be not too much any player could do to stop him in rare form. He was phenomenal, wasn't he?
Oh, he's a phenomenal player, as we know. And if you're a Swans supporter, you're especially heartened by that kind of form going into the finals.
Yes.
They do take on Essendon in Sydney.
Yes.
And I don't think any Carlton supporter would be too upset if Sydney put Essendon out of the finals.
Well, it's a fair point. And I look at Sydney and the SCG. I now put it on a par with Geelong and Simmons.
Oh, really?
Or vice versa. I think both teams have a massive home advantage in those small grounds, you know, that really suit them.
The best for Carlton, Murphy had a great game, 32 touches. Simo ended up with 29, and we know what is his status as far as playing on for next year. Has he signed?
Well, I don't know what his contractual status is yet toned, but I think it's fair to assume that he wants to go on, and I think he has indicated that he would like to play on. So I suppose the nuts and bolts will be sorted within the next week or so as the reviews are on in earnest. So he'll be closing in on 300, won't he, Simo, if he plays next year? I think there'll be a solution reached. I certainly hope so. I reckon he's got another one left in him. And what a great servant for the Carlton Football Club Cade Simpson has been. Reflecting on the game, Tone, there wasn't too much of an upside in some respects, but what a relief that Kieran Byrne has escaped unscathed. The news came out that
wasn't good.
It did not look good, did it, when Gary Rowan took him out.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, don't tell me he's done a knee. So I think it's been a pretty good outcome that was the ankle that was hurt, and he's going to make a full recovery there. So
he was walking after it, which is always a good sign.
Yes, yes. But that initial moment, it looked terrible on the replay. You know, he thought, oh, no, in the last game of all games too, maybe this is it. But
I guess given how, well, not innocuous, but given the Cripps injury, which was just, in general play, but, attempting to smother a kick, and then out of that you get a broken leg.
How easy can happen. Yeah. And it never seems to amaze me, Tony, what can happen to a player on a football field.
Yeah.
Just when you think you've heard it all, there's another bizarre injury that, comes from absolutely nothing, as you've said, and can sideline a player for, weeks, if not months. So I think, thankfully, it could have been... it was a lot better than it could have been, that outcome for Kieran, because he's worked so hard to get back over that initial knee injury that it would have been absolute tragedy had he broken down again.
Well, look, thankfully there was nothing more serious than that came out of the game. I should have mentioned earlier, we are going to announce the Two Tones Player of the Year at the end of this episode.
Yes.
But, Tone, win, lose or draw, it's often a difficult task to decide who gets the 3-2-1 votes for the Two Tones Player of the Year. Who did you like in the Sydney-Carlton game?
Well, in the Sydney-Carlton game, I would like to, and I've tried to encourage our youth as best I can this year, Tone. I've been most encouraged with the improvement of our first and second year players, or the emergence of our first year players anyway. But I'd like to acknowledge with one vote a player that I think has really worked his way through a mini bad patch, which is, I suppose, the slings and arrows of fortune as a league footballer. Jakob Wiertering, I think his last month has been tremendous, the way he's worked his way through that sort of mini form slump. What caused it, I don't know. Maybe it's a confidence thing, who knows, but I really think he's come back hard, and all power to him. Wiering's a player, I think, looking at him, he's a very composed, poised sort of footballer, and with his with the ball in his hands, you're always pretty confident he'll do something good with it. And I think he'll become, one of the real mainstays of an already tight Carlton defence. So I gave him one vote. I gave two votes to the big bloke, Matty Cruiser. I've been an unashamed Cruiser fan all year. love the guy. And he was so stiff not to make that All-Australian team.
What was going on there?
Don't know what was happening there, Tony. You'll have to query the selectors. And three votes to the captain, Mark Murphy. I thought, pretty good end of the season. He and Gibbs have been under enormous pressure with the absence of the three C's, Cripps, Kurnow, Cunningham. And I think, for Mark to lead by example under some really, difficult circumstances, all power to him. He's finished off the year well, and I think he led the way this year for Carlton. Good luck to him.
Well, those votes will go towards the ultimate total, which will be announced at the end of the show. I think it's going to knock a lot of people on their backsides when we announce who that winner is. What a man. What a player. That's all I'm going to say. Let's have a look back on season 2017.
Let's reflect.
Now, I don't want to use the term a curate's egg, because I don't think it was. I think a lot of Carlton supporters, and I'm especially gratified too by going to games or just you know, when I go out and people who come up and say they listen to the podcast. Yes. So hello, Jonathan, my bite in Collingwood.
I get the same response myself. Thanks, Dad.
But it's a chance to kind of, well, poll the electorate, if you like.
Yes.
And there is a lot of optimism amongst Carlton supporters. So you can look at our ladder position in 2017, but I think in exchange for that, if you said we're going to end there on the ladder, but we'll get five rising stars and there is going to be signs of real growth and optimism at the club, nobody would be unhappy with that, with that situation.
A very good point you make, Tony. And in fact, I think the view that you've shared there is reflective of the rank and file, is also one shared by the the non-aligned experts, football pundit, who look at Carlton's season in totality and say, okay, in terms of wins, losses, maybe it's not there, but maybe this was a season you don't measure in terms of win-loss. It's as you say, you look at it in terms of the growth, you know, the overall growth, how players have come on, not only, you know, the new faces at Carlton, but you have to say, if you look at the other end, in the years that, you know, Cruiser, Gibbs and Murphy have all had, well, you know, they've really performed well for the club also. So I think, you know, and then and it's thrown into the mix, you know, the form of Liam Jones, you've probably got improvement across the board in terms of, you know, the collective input, how the players to a man have really improved in their contributions to the football club. But, you know, when you look back, Tone, at the success stories of 2017 for Carlton, you'd have to say, well, the five rising stars, you know, the nominees there. And also, I think, Liam Jones. I mean, that's probably been the success story of the year in league football.
Matty Cruiser getting through a season without serious injury.
And didn't it show the way he played? You know, just to be, you know, that I think was his best year for Carlton in his time at the club. And, you know, it's often said, Tone, of big men that they take a little longer to develop. So you would like to think that the best seasons for Matt Cruiser are still ahead. And
you did mention something, and because we may be talking about Matt Cruiser a little bit later on. Who knows? No spoiler alert there. But
we won't be talking about Paddy Ryder. I'll give you the drum. Right.
One thing that was edifying was the number of times opposition coaches said that Carlton were a hard team to play against. Now, that was not being said last year or the year before, or that, you know.
No, that's a good point, Tony. And in fact, when you reflect on the games, I mean, I think back to the games that's probably sticking in my mind. Well, they're probably the most recent. The Hawthorn game was an absolute highlight, you know, to break that, you know, that 12-year, you know, hoodoo, as it was, to overcome Hawthorn that way was fantastic to be a part of that experience, particularly in the rooms afterwards, to share that moment with the 87 boys, who it's been well documented. But I think back also to, you know, the round six game against Sydney on the MCG. Yep. I mean, here's a team that we've knocked over that are making a serious tilt on the premiership. Mm. I just look back to games like that, and also the games that we were in for long stages, and I thought, well, it's a fine line, isn't it? We're not that far away, you know. And
well, the Essendon game was an example of that.
Well, there was Melbourne, like, you know, there's so many that you reflect back on. You think, gee whiz, we were right in this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's often said, you know, you learn most from a loss. You think of those experiences that the team has been through to prevail against Hawthorn the way they did, you know, when it could have gone either way. I think that was a quantum leap for the Carlton collective. And you just like to think that, you know, it's with time and more experience, these players are going to be better equipped to win those really tight, hard-fought contests, and it can only augur well for the players as a whole. And, roll on 2018, I say.
Well, there's an interesting stat here. Carlton 6 victories this year were one fewer than last year. And it failed to kick 100 points under coach Brendan Bolton since round 11, 2016.
Yes,
we know that, but that just, to me, says that the back six has melded and does a great job.
Very true.
Bolton's men lost six matches by 19 points or fewer, but won five by the same margin.
Well, yes.
So that just means...
Well, that means we've been in 11 games.
Yeah.
At least, you know, and, you know, that's 11 wins potentially, you know. Okay, we didn't get we didn't get over the line in six of them. However, like I said, I think the players will glean so much from, you know, the methodology, how they played in those games, you know, how they performed, what they learned from them, what they can take into next year. I just think it's all part of the learning curve. And I think, Tone, getting back to what you've said about the, you know, the view of the rank and file, I think they, as one, are bullish about our prospects because they can see the way forward, what they've actually been able to see. And it's been really well articulated, I think, by the powers above, is that there's a distinct pathway. You know, there's a people can see the way forward, and they understand the journey and they appreciate the journey. And I can't speak for anyone else, but thinking about the year, I think part of the excitement has been the excitement of the journey itself. We all want to get to the destination, but gee whiz, it's been fun. The ride's been fun, you know, just to see how our players are coming on and potentially what the future holds for them. I think it's just really, really inspiring to watch on and see these fellows develop. And I think what's also happened is the players and Brendan Bolton, they've instilled back in the club this sense of pride that may have been, you know, may have been lost for a fair bit of time along the way after we were so savagely hit by the AFL all those years ago. So I just think that, you know, the fact that there's a direction, you know, and people can appreciate that, and look, this is part of a grand plan. They understand that, you know, the serious calls had to be made on players that, you know, the list had to be stripped back. There's been a lot of churns, and, you know, strip back, start again, and that's fine. You know, no one has ever been upset to see a kid called up to play, you know, and to see that youthful exuberance on show, because people can see in a young player the future of the football club and where it's heading. So I don't think you can help but be upbeat and buoyant about what the future holds, because you know, clearly there has been improvement, and the improvement will continue, and hopefully it'll be swift.
Well, look, I think we've been, thanks to the club's, you know, excellent process in securing Brendan Bolton. I mean, there is a man who just inspires confidence. You look at every press conference he gives, you just think there is a man who has a plan, who seems very firm in his ideas about where we're going, and we shall follow. Now, you talk about young talent this year. I've got one of the highlights of 2017. If this is not immortalised in an Archibald painting 1 year, Tone, it'll be a greater injustice than Cruz not getting into the All-Australian. Alex Silvani's reaction in the pouring rain in Jax. The win against... against Essendon.
I know the photograph. It was the indelible image that is seared into the back of my brain, Tony, and I share it with you. That was just such a fabulous photograph. You know, it says it all. Where they say picture tells 1,000 words, that one tells 1,000,000. You know, it doesn't need a caption. You look at it and you say, wow, how good's this? You know, and what I gleaned from seeing Jack Silvani's reaction, wearing the great Carlton jumper on the front, was what it actually means to him. You know, I love seeing players play, you know, as if their lives depended on, you know, protecting the Guernsey. And, you know, Sam Doherty's another one like that. You know, just bumped into a couple of people in the cafe. One lady made the comment, in some respects, Doherty reminds her so much of Peter Dean.
Oh,
just the way he plays with that, you know, sheer desperation and, you know... get out of my way, you know, I'm making the ball my focus. And I just love seeing players play like that. And you look at that photograph of Jack, and it embodies everything that is great about representing the Carlton Football Club. And, it's a great call you make, Tony. That image in the rain, it says everything, doesn't it? It does stick in your mind.
It does, because it summed up so much about 2017. It's about the emergence of new talent. Continuity, you know, generational continuity. You look at the Silvanis, that playing for the club means everything to him. That the club inspires that kind of loyalty.
Yes.
And a victory over an old foe. in wretched conditions. That's all, you know, that's fairy tale stuff.
That's right, that's right. And we've got to get them twice next year too, by the way, Collingwood. Oh, look, you know, they only rostered us for one game this year, and I wasn't happy, Tony. In fact, I was offended by it. And we want two games against Collingwood next
all right,
year.
Let's do it.
Can you chop that down for me, please?
Now, we talked about young players, Tone, and we're going to get onto speculation about the draft in a moment, and then we will announce... to the great surprise of very few people, who the Two Tones Player of the Year is. I just want to touch on a few people who have emerged this year, because to me, and this is not to take anything away from established players who have had great seasons, but the next generation coming through, we've seen, as we mentioned, the five rising stars, but players like Pickett, Samo to me has been...
A revelation, isn't it?
Well, what? This is a first year, and he's out there. He's
slotted straight into the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And missed a pre-season too, we remember. But plays with so much poise. It's a great call. It looks like he's been there forever and a day.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem to have been flustered or intimidated. None of these young blokes are. You know, they back themselves, you know, and their abilities. And, you know, it may be boys to men, but you never guess the way that they play. And what you said about Petrevsky Seaton's spot on. He's looks like he's fitted hand in glove in the midfield. And you know, what a career beckons for Samo Petrevsky Seaton. It's, you know, just another one of the great stories of 2017 for Carlton.
Now, who else do you like, Tone? Who else would you nominate, let's say, as, you know, who gives you, I guess, the most hope going forward for 2018? Well, who are you hoping, who are you waiting to see to, I guess, blossom?
Well, I think Charlie Curnow's one where you look at him and say, crikey, there's a player of, you know, of the future, you know. And look, there's been some massive calls made already, you know. I think Dermot's the one that's referred to him as the next Carey. So, you know, that's a massive call, and you wouldn't want to put pressure on the kid. But like I said, these fellows back themselves and their own abilities. And Charlie, I thought, as you know, with every game that was played, that he just seemed to be becoming more of a presence in games and making more of an impact on games. He was certainly starting to hold his marks. I think we saw in the Hawthorn game a moment where Brendan Bolton threw him onto the ball. What Charlie Curnow is potentially capable of is anything, and that's exciting in itself. Towards the end, we saw Jared Pickett really start to make an impression also, you know, and he's got great tricks, you know, and I think the games I saw Jared Pickett play, one of those players that actually lit up the place, you know, just exciting footballer to watch, got canny ability, and another player that, you know, you would think, he's got a great future ahead of him. But, I mean, there's plenty of others. You know,
Harry Mackay. I want to see that journey continue next year.
Well, and we saw a glimpse of him.
And they were magnificent. By the recruiting department, multiple bottles of champagne, because they are on it.
Well, they're on it. And, you know, you've got to give, like, credit to the judges of horse flesh here at Carlton, that the last 2 years have certainly got their calls right on draft day, it's exciting to think what might be for the likes of Mackay, Curnow, Petrevsky, Seaton, you know, Jared Pickett, as we mentioned, Cunningham's another one, you know, we want to see a bit more of. The sky's the limit for these blokes.
You mentioned the Curnows. Well, one of the Curnows, the goal they combined for, the two brothers, before we lost Ed.
Yes.
And that, God, how much did that hurt throughout the course of the year, the injury to Ed Curnow?
Well, it was the collective toll with Cripps missing too, you know. Yeah. I just think, you know, Carlton, to their credit, like in picking up the likes of Harry Mackay and previous draft, probably realised that they had to get the big blokes at that time, perhaps mindful of the sort of play that would be available this year. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But I think what we saw, particularly with you know, Ed Curnow, as you say, Cripps and Cunningham towards the end of the year missing, was that it did impact on the rotations. Mm. And it all fell to Gibbs and Murphy. And, you know, I thought they were pretty good,
under
tremendous duress. Yeah. You know, you can sometimes forget about, you know, the toll that the game takes on you when it all falls on you, you know. And I don't think Murphy and Gibbs perhaps earned the plaudits they deserve for picking up the slack in the absence of those players that we've mentioned.
Well, you especially when you think of the tumult that Gibbs went through at the start of the year with the will he, won't he go to Adelaide.
Complete pro, wasn't he, the way he approached it?
Yeah, yeah. Just played a great season. Yes. And there were games there where he really took it on, took it by the scruff of the neck and showed on-field leadership. And I think a lot of Carlton supporters are going to be... You know, if you want to remember Bryce Gibbs' time at Carlton by one season, it'd be 2017, I think.
Yes.
Another thing, too, that the injury to Sam Rowe damaged us throughout the year, because his form before that injury, he'd really stood up. He was magnificent.
Well, that's true. And he was magnificent, too. And from what I'm told, he's making real inroads in his recovery and will hopefully be there for, you know, round one at least. But... You know, they say crisis creates opportunity, and I think in his absence, did Alex Silvani slot in? I'm trying to remember the chain of events. I think Alex Silvani came in first, and then whether Liam Jones, I'm not sure.
I thought Liam Jones had kind of come in to pinch hit for Sam Rowe. Maybe he did. I may have got that wrong, but, you know, that's you talk about highlights of 2017, that's one right there.
Well, and Alex Silvani, you know, I mean, the games that we saw, I mean, the thing with Alex Silvani is how hard a player he is. He is an uncompromising player. He's also quick. Mm. And I think his capacity to, you know, to be able to go with Buddy in that round six game, but also to mix it with him, doesn't put up with any nonsense. You love those sorts of players, you know, and he's been a great pickup. And then Liam Jones, you know, it's it may be the best football story of 2017 period. Mm. Just, you know, he was on the scrap heap. He was gone. You know, he's re-signed for two. And, you know, good luck to him. You know, there's a salient lesson to any players that it ain't over until the fat lady reaches for the gargle water tone.
I'm into that tone. Look, we could go on, but we won't. Let's quickly touch on...
Like. No,
well, just before we go to Player of the Year, can I just acknowledge a service to the club? And we have on the podcast over the course of the years, this year, Dennis Armfield wore that 27, a great number at the Carlton Football Club.
Yes.
Wore it with distinction and did it justice.
One of the great clubmen that ever played at the Carlton Football Club, a much-loved person, a fellow with an infectious character, you know, bubbly sort of figure. You couldn't help but like being around Dennis Armfield. Had a great sense of social justice, I suppose. Mm. He won the Jim Steins medal for his contributions to those less privileged.
Yep.
Just a great, great football man. Gave his all. You know, you talk about players that, you know, you love to see bleed blue.
Yeah.
He was one. You know, may not have been blessed with all the ability in the world that, you know, but the way he committed himself to his football club, take a bow, Den. You stood tall throughout your career, and I can still remember the day you walked in, Tone, 2007, I think it was, the end of 2007, and remembering, you know, things were a lot more... there was a lot more doom and gloom in 2007. And he was one that brought a real spark, a badly needed spark to the place. And I remember it was from day one. You know, you look and you said, oh, there's a young fellow who's up and about. And, you know, a great man for the club. You need people like that, you know, good people that really bring a bit of vim and vigour to the place and a bit of bubble. And, you know, Dennis, you know, is there'll be none more loyal than him. And, you know, I'm sure the doors to the Carlton Football Club will always be open to Dangles. He was a great man for Carlton, and good luck to him in his post-Carlton career.
I'm into that. Love to see him back here in some capacity. Another one we lost this year, Neil Craig, a great servant of the club as well, after his senior coaching career at Adelaide, but came to Carlton and contributed. And he's somebody who leaves the place contented, I think, at the potential ahead.
Well, you know, I think everyone wants to leave the club a better place than when they arrived. And you know, if you look at what's happening around the place, Tone, with some of the... What I'm trying to say, the state of play with some of the coaches and the coaching staffs and whatever. I think what Neil Craig brought was stability. Given that Brendan Bolton, you know, was a young coach just embarking on his career and probably needed that father figure alongside. And I think what Neil Craig probably brought and I'm only surmising, I'm not in the inner sanctum, was a real stability to that area, but also probably provided a sounding board to Brendan Bolton, you know, and just a steadying, calming influence. I think was vital actually to Brendan at this particular phase of his coaching journey. So Neil Craig, again, a great football person, had 40 years in the game from his time as a player through all his coaching years. Total fan of football, lover of the game, and a great football person. You know, they're hard to come by, and and he has certainly earned his moment in the sun. He's been a great servant for Carlton and for football, Tony.
Well, Tone, it is that time where we announce the player of the year. Before we get there, can we just acknowledge again while we're at it, Sam Doherty's unbelievable year, and you know, to come from a team that ends the year with our ladder position, we're what, second off the bottom?
Yes.
Second, to then make All Australian. I think the springboard to that was obviously his inaugural Two Tones Player of the Year award last year.
Modesty prevented me from making that assumption, Tony, but thank you for doing so.
But come on, like, join the dots, people. Come on. Well done to him for receiving the Virgin Australia All-Australian honours. The first at this club since Juddy and Mark Murphy in 2011.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible.
6 years.
And know, he gets a blazer out of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shame it wasn't blue, but however, I'm sure he'll wear it with pride.
Now, he will be... Look, that's the rough... Oh, sorry, that's the smooth for Doc, who's played a fantastic year. The rough for him, however... he has not managed to go back-to-back in the Two Tones Player of the Year.
He gave it one hell of a tilt, Tone, but the winner is, and I'll throw to you.
He's a great man. He's a great man. He's a great man and a great player.
Yes.
Now, he ended on 26 votes, and there is daylight, and I'm talking a North Pole day of 24 hours of daylight between him and the runner-up. But we have to add the two votes that he secured from you earlier on in the podcast, Tony.
Yes, that just trots him out to 28.
If you don't mind,
go
I even have to say the name. Cruz!
What a year he had, Tony. The big bloke, come of age, injury-free, as you said earlier in the year, and that was half the battle, wasn't it? You know, I mean, when Carlton Security Services, you know, much publicised services ahead of Cochin in that draft those years ago, you know, they thought there was enormous upside to the big man. Injuries really crueled him for a greater part of his early career, and only now is he seen to have got the body right, you know, for whatever reason, the rigours of the game were really taking toll. Mm. And, you know, there were moments, you know, where I'm sure, you know, a lot of us thought, is he ever going to, you know, get to those lofty heights we expect of him? Well, he's done that in spades this year. And, I mean, it all started with him, you know, the centre bounce. He led the way. Way he was able to contest that ruck contest in back it up, try and, you know, rove his
second
own taps.
Second, third efforts.
Second,
amazing.
Third efforts. Amazing. But what we saw was a real freedom that he played with by virtue of the fact that he was he had an injury uninterrupted pre-season. And in this day and age, you've got to have it. Or if you don't get through the summer months unscathed, you're behind the eight ball for effectively half the year at least. So, you know, a great man... one that seeks little fanfare, just goes about his business. You know, they call him Humphrey. He's chirped up a bit this year, which is great to see. I've interviewed him a couple of times after the game, couldn't shut him up. but look, a great man for the football club. And as I said earlier, Tone, being a big man, you know, maybe the best is ahead. They're notoriously slow starters as players, but maybe the best years are ahead for Matty Cruiser.
That all is a power to him. Prospect,
all power to him. And I think my personal view is that when it comes to best and fairest night, it'll probably be a two-horse race between him and the Doc, in my opinion. But you never know. John Nicholls' medals nights are a funny game, Tone.
Well, indeed. And am I right in thinking that was he back for the Port Adelaide game that John Barker coached after Mick Malthouse was sacked? Was that, let's say, his kind of that sparked the resurgence in Matty Cruiser because he's played pretty much consistently since then.
Yes, your memory's better than mine. I'm not 100% sure, but yes, there seemed to be that pivotal moment, you know, where it was almost as if, you know, he'd got through the worst and really with every game,
yeah,
you know, he was growing in confidence clearly and belief in his body, you know, that, you know, my body's right, I can withstand the rigours. And I think what we've seen with every game that he's played, an increase in his self-belief. And as I said before, we always knew that he could play. It was more a question of whether he could get a reasonable crack at it,
yeah.
You know, with his body standing up. So
Okay, this is how I react to him, yes, as a fan when he goes near the ball. And it reminds me of Kuda, Juddy or Sticks. It's that sort of thing. It's exciting, you know. The best man is on the job.
Yep.
You know, it whatever he does is going to be sensible and it's going to be to our advantage.
Yes.
That's what I get out of Cruz, and just watching him in the ruck, those second efforts are amazing.
Oh, amazing. And I think that's what I like most about him, yeah, the head over the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he contests the ruck and then he's straight into the next contest and the next.
And then we drift back to the forward line and then, you know, clunk it. Sort of thing.
Yeah. He's a tremendous competitor, you know, and he's been loyal to the club. You know, let's be honest. You know, there was a serious play on him a couple of years ago, but he was loyal to Carlton, and good on him, because Carlton's faith in Cruz has been rewarded now, and you know, let's hope he's a one club player for the Carlton Football Club because this was his standout year. When you reflect on his career so far, I think 2017's a year you say, well, geez, this was the year for the big bloke. Good luck to him.
Well, he does get the Placo shirt, the Hutton Sam, yeah, the Petra Orange cheese.
The Tosca Travellers, first class.
That's right. Yeah. And he gets a flight to a destination of his choice with Ansett Airlines.
Virgin, I would think. Just to clarify that, all fairness to our major sponsors for the next 5 years, Tony.
You know what? I don't think they've got much to worry about in terms of competition from Reg Ansett's old airline. Tone, can I just say it's been a magnificent pleasure, delight and honour to do the podcast with you again.
It's mutual, Tone. Great fun. We've had a great year and long may it continue.
Indeed. And look, thank you to everybody who's, we mentioned this before, who's come up to us at games or you know, has just approached us wherever.
Great Carlton people.
Yes, to give us feedback about the podcast. Yep. We do love that.
And they say it because they feel it, Tone.
Yes.
That's the passion that we love.
All right, perfect. And look, all going well. We look forward to being with you again in season 2018.
Thanks to Grace and to Jack for keeping us honest all year. Thank you.
Yes, indeed, and to Luca Ganano. So we will join. We'll hopefully join you next year for what is going to be an exciting year in the history of the Carlton Football Club.
Bring it on, Tone. That's all I say. Bring it on.